And speaking of Sabbath school, I would admonish you that Sabbath school, that early morning part, is vital to our spiritual life. When we come in a little bit late, we come for the main hour, the singing, the prayer, the message, wonderful, amen. Every little morsel is important. But when you miss that deep dive discussion into God's word, you don't know how you're cheating yourself. I encourage you to come out at 9:30, 9:50, and join in the study. It will uplift you. It will build your spiritual life and your knowledge for God when you no longer have his word freely in your hand. And when we show up late, you know, we do our kids a disservice. We teach them it's okay to take God's timeline lightly. We teach them that, I sound like I'm preaching a sermon already, I apologize. But we rob them of instruction and knowledge in righteousness. Can you agree with that? So I encourage you and admonish you, make an extra effort to be here on time. If not for yourself, for your children. And the last thing, and I'll get into the message on this, be in prayer for our new minister, our new pastor, whomever the Lord has already lined up for us. Be in prayer, please. Okay. So join me in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, now the message. I wrestle with this every time. And every time I ask you, what do you want to say to me? What do you want me to say to your people? And then I just hand it over to you. I pray, Lord, that the message this morning is your message, and you speak through me, that hearts will be touched, uplifted, impacted, and convicted to follow you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, we have a slide with our scripture reading. Scripture reading, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him. And what's he gonna do? He shall direct your paths, amen. There was a mission story we read earlier this quarter. One of the projects, well, a number of the projects are around the Fiji Islands. And this particular one, the mission story was shared about a man named Moapi. Yes, Moapi, 77 years old. Moapi keeps the same routine every morning. Let me hold on. Oh, look at that. You know how I know I'm special? Good-looking girl gave me this morning. How many of y'all got one? You didn't? Ah, I'm special. Put this away. Okay. Here's the thing with Moapi. In the morning, first thing, his feet hit the floor before dawn, and he whispers a prayer. Then he goes straight to his desk to begin work. Now, that's interesting because when I go straight to my desk to begin work, not that I do, it's to work for someone else. It's to work for man. Moapi, his entire life, his entire work life, as we'll see, was in ministry for God. When he goes straight to the desk to begin work, it's work for his Heavenly Father. So, in the morning, sun hadn't come up yet. His feet hit the floor. He prays. He goes to the desk to begin the Lord's work. Hang on to that for a moment. We're going to come back to that in a few minutes, or 30 minutes, or whatever it happens to be. But hang on to that one. As a young boy, Moapi swept the church floors. He greeted every single church member as they come in by name. And he watched his father, the pastor, do the same thing. And he determined in his heart he wanted to be just like his dad. He wanted to be a pastor. He wanted to serve God's people. This was his dream. So he goes on, and he's a young man now. He's working at Fulton Adventist University on the Fiji Islands. And as he's studying, he's working in the printing press. kind of a dirty job. He's got inky fingers all the time. But this is what he does. And he's still cleaning the church, greeting the people. And it tells us in that mission story that one Friday evening, he kneels down by that old wooden pulpit and he prays to God. And he says, "Lord, send me a woman who loves you the most." This was his prayer. And not too long after, he meets Mary, M-E-R-E, Mary. She's one of the proofreaders in the printing business, I suppose. And the Lord puts them together. They're married. They have three daughters. Life is wonderful. They continue on. He gets the first call in ministry to, let me find it. Give me just a second. Yes, here we go. His first assignment was at the Trans-Pacific Publishing House in Suva, where Moapi loaded paper at dawn, adjusted the press, and watched gospel booklets roll out in neat stacks. And he spoke to the boss, and he expressed that he wanted to be a pastor. And what his boss told him at first was disheartening. He said, "Forget about that. Stay in the printing business. Everything you print here reaches and touches hearts for Jesus across the globe, further than your sermon will." And over time, he took that to heart and he accepted, as a mild-mannered, quiet man, this is what God wanted him to do. And this is what he did. One day, one of the former students came to see him, and he rose through the proverbial ranks. He wasn't always inky fingers. He eventually became the head bookkeeper, right, for the university, for the printing press business, etc. One day, a former student came to him and said, "Listen, I will triple your salary. I'll give you a house to live in, and I'll give you a car if you come run my business for me." Does God bless us or what? That's what I thought too, till I read a little further. And he said, "I appreciate that, but I had already made up my mind that I will serve God until the last day that I work, until I retire. Money is not that important to me." And he passed on it, and he stayed. 52 years he worked there at that university. 52 years he counseled students, young people. He watched the children come up and play under the mango trees. 52 years, prayer was his anchor. The story told us that in the morning, he would stand under the breadfruit tree and pray. You guys know what a breadfruit tree is? Yeah, some of us do. That's some good eating. Some of you don't even know what that is. But he would stand under the breadfruit tree and he would pray. At lunchtime, when the classrooms were empty, students are everywhere, he would go to the quiet classroom in prayer to God. In the evening, they would stand around a kerosene lamp, him, Mary, and the three girls, and he would have prayer with his family. His life, his ministry was anchored in prayer to his Heavenly Father. So there was another call. At a certain point, they closed the press. So it sounds like he's going to lose his job. But they asked him to, what was it, handle all of the books for the college. Forget the press, we're closing that, that business is shutting down, but we would like you to take care of all of the finances for the entire college. This is his new job. If this is where God wants him, this is where we're going. So he packs up the few little boxes of stuff they have, they drive up the mountain to the little house that was provided for them, and they get there, and Mary looks at this house, and she starts to cry. The house is in shambles that the university provided. The roof is leaking. The walls are all peeling up. It's just dejecting to look at it. And she says, "We should go back. We should go back." What do you think Moapi says? Well, he puts his arm around her and he says, "Listen, I understand what you're saying, but we're not here for comfort. We're here to serve God." And he led his family in cleaning up, in making it their home. And of course, it's a big turnaround. It was great. It became a place where traveling ministers could stop and rest and prepare as they served. It became a place where students would come and, as we said earlier, be counseled. It became almost a haven for the people to have rest and peace and quiet and a place they can just feel good serving the Lord. What is the highlight of your day? Golf? Getting up even at our age and running in the morning? I can't do that. What's the highlight of your day? Where's Dwight? I don't see Dwight. I gotta pick on somebody else. Somebody tell me, at the end of the day, what is it you look forward to? Sounds like somebody stole my answer. Family, spending time with your family. Maybe go out for dinner. Maybe fall in the recliner with that remote. Maybe get into the gym, finally. There's something you look forward to, the highlight of your day, right? That mission story tells that even at 77 years old, Moapi keeps the same routine. I told you, hang on to that, we're coming back. His feet would hit the floor before dawn. He whispers his prayer, and then he goes straight to his desk to begin work. He said, and this is the nugget in the message, if you get nothing else, make sure you hear what I'm about to say. I like to be first at work because God deserves my best hours. Now, I like to be first at work because God deserves my very best hours. Before I get tired, before I get embroiled in all of the turmoil at work, before I get caught up in the busyness, before everything, God deserves my best hours. When I'm thinking clearly, when my mind is at peace, when I'm rested, when I'm fresh, that's when I should be with God. Yes, amen. Does God deserve your best hours? Man, y'all should have rocked the windows. God deserves our best hours, and you know why. How many times did you narrowly escape with your life on the highway? Because people are doing 85 to 90 now that it's legal to drive 70, 75. And at the same time, they actually are quite skilled in text messaging. How many times have you narrowly escaped with your life? How many tragedies have you been through in your life? How many failed relationships? How many hopes and dreams dashed? And the one constant, we say, the one constant that's always there is what? God is always there. He's never left you. He's never forsaken you. I mean, you can trust people like you would not believe. You can have intent for marriage and a future and everything. But you don't know how people change in time with influences, etc. But the one thing I know I can count on, God does not change. And if he says he's my father, he's always my father. If Jesus says he is my friend, he is always my friend. No matter how bad I am, no matter how bad I trip up, no matter what I do, no matter if I turn my back on him, when I turn back around, he's still there. He's still my friend. Don't you think he deserves the best? That's right, Robert, he does. So something I thought about when I read that story, Moapi knew he didn't have much. He was gathering around a kerosene lamp at night to pray with his family. Why didn't he accept the job? Triple the pay, a house, a car? What's wrong with that? Why didn't he accept that and all the benefits that came with it? He worked in the printing business at an Adventist college. Do you think he was highly paid? He had a family to provide for. He probably had dreams for his three girls. Go to college, get married, have families, etc. Maybe he wanted them to learn to play instruments. Who knows? And where's Mr. Charleston? Nice job. Thank you all for the music this morning. What a blessing. Yet, his choice was still, in humility, to serve God and to pass on these opportunities. And I thought about that. Was that fair to his three little girls? To deprive them of some of the nicer things available to them if he was able to afford it? Just random thoughts here. Work with me. I ask myself again, why did he turn it down? Sometimes you look at something you read and something just makes you scratch your head. I'm like, I don't get it, right? And I thought about that for a little bit. So I reached out to Pastor Fernando Late. Who knows Pastor Late? Yeah, I reached out to him. I asked him a question. What made you decide, Fernando, to take the road that you did? A humble minister of the gospel, when you could have made so many advances in business, you could have chosen a path to success and financial security for you and your family. He, if you mingled with Pastor Late, was clearly an astute businessman, an accountant. He helped this church put some processes in place that turned around the financial position we were in at a certain point. You know, and that's God blessing him and him choosing what to do with this blessing. It's interesting. So I asked him this. I said, knowing this, Fernando, that you could have done well in business, why didn't you choose that path? I knew I was asking him in light of the scripture for today, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge God, and he will direct your path. Do you know what Fernando said to me? What do you think he said to me? Well, no. He said, Marcos, come back next week, I tell you. No, he didn't. But he did say, let me think about it. And here's what he said to me. After 15 years in full-time ministry, I've had moments where I've asked myself if I made the right choice. But the truth is, when God calls you to a mission, that calling becomes your focus. I have no doubt that God called me into ministry. And that has shaped my priority, to serve his church and continue following his voice. He is our shepherd and we are his sheep. As we follow him, we can trust that he never stops caring for us. He never stops guiding us and protecting us. So, we talk about trusting in the Lord with all of our hearts, not leaning on our own understanding. We talk about in all of our ways, we're to acknowledge the Lord and he will direct our path. And then I ask you, does God deserve your best hours? And then I got to ask you, does he get them? Don't answer the question. Does God get your best hours each and every day? And when we reflect on some of our patriarchs and prophets and kings through the Bible, sometimes it's hard to wrap your mind around the fact that there are men and women who wake up in the morning knowing all day long today they're serving God in all of their actions, in all of their work, in everything that they do. They're not seeking how are they going to make a little bit more money so they can get a nicer car next year. They're not seeking how they can get a promotion so they can have a salary raise so they can do the expansion on the house. All they're thinking when they wake up in the morning, even when they went to bed the night before tired and worn out, is tomorrow I get to serve God. And sometimes it's just so hard to wrap your mind around that. That there are people where their entire life focus is not on them and what they could have. It's on God and God's people. Like Fernando said, he's our shepherd and we are his sheep, you know? And they focus on their shepherd and his sheep all the time. You look at men like Moses, and he lived to be, what, 120 years? And after about 40 years of being the grand, almost to be Pharaoh, he leaves, and for 40 years he's tending to sheep or camel or whatever in the wilderness as a shepherd, unlearning Egypt and those desires. And then for 40 years he's doing that, and then God calls him at 80-ish. And for the next 40 years he leads God's people, even though they're ungrateful, wretched people, even though they continue to be sinful people, even though they continue to turn their backs on God, through the wilderness, through all of God's presence, they still turn against God so many times, and Moses remained faithful both to God and to God's people. And you know how we know that? Because when God was angry with them and said, I should destroy this people, Moses said, come on. Be merciful. You love this people. Yes? So people have served God with everything they have, with all that they can give. And they definitely gave their best hours to God. When you trust God completely, when you allow God to guide your thoughts, when you allow God, and I say allow God, he does not force himself on us. When you allow God to help you choose the right way and make the right decisions, what do you give up? What do you give up by being obedient to God, by following his lead? Maybe you give up career opportunities. Maybe you give up some of the finer things in life, some luxuries. What do you think? Now, if I don't hear you, I'm going to have to go fire and brimstone on you. I'm going to be running around here with my voice raised. So stay awake and stay with me. Oh, somebody's got the formula. All right, I got to hurry along here. Maybe you give up popularity with friends. When you choose to allow God to be in control of your life, when you choose to let God lead your decision making, maybe you give up popularity with your friends. Where's Christian? How cool is it when you're at school and the boys are, you know, talking about the girls and all, and you say, hey, that's not the way, guys. Let's respect these young ladies. God is the right way to look at things. That's not cool. That's not popular. That puts you in a different light with the guys, doesn't it? What do you give up when you choose God first? But you know what? Let's flip the coin. Obedience to God. Let's flip that coin. Maybe what you give up is constant failure. Because listen, on your own, duct tape and WD-40 does not fix everything. It doesn't. On your own, you try to fix the problems in the marriage, the problems in the relationship. On your own, you try to fix the problem at the job. And you know what you meet with? Failure. After failure, after failure, because we are born into a world of sin. We are steeped in sin. We don't know how to do it right. And then you're going to say, well, how come some people do and they're not Christians? Well, our Lord also tells us his rain falls on the just and the unjust. Amen? Maybe when you trust God instead of yourself, instead of leaning on your own understanding, you give up turmoil in your life, sadness in your life. Do you know how real that is for some people? There are people that are on medication for their entire life to manage how to make it through the day. And I don't say that lightly. That is unfortunate, but it's a reality. There are people that have got to take that pill every morning, otherwise their world is a mess. Maybe when you do trust God, when you do lean on God instead of leaning on your own understanding, God navigates a path for you that is different, because now you're not so worried about how do I do this? How do I make this work? Instead, like the sparrow, you just are here, thankful for God. And every day, God seems to put food out there for you. The sparrow, anyhow. What do you give up when you decide you're going to trust God? You're going to be obedient to God? This is so interesting, because I wrote down in here, I would like for Brother Craig to tell you guys the rest of the story about his dad's crop. After the storms and the flooding, when the digging Dutchman said it was the Sabbath, let's go home. When he said, leave it to God, and he takes his family to church. Instead of going back out to that field and trenching that water out. But that's a sermon for another day and not by me. Who knows the song Trust and Obey? Trust and Obey. In the old hymnal, it's number 682. In the new hymnal, it's 690. And I was going to read those lyrics, but in the interest of time, I will not. But if you read that little sermon, Trust and Obey, four verses, you're going to get a powerful sermon. So maybe if we choose God instead, if we choose to trust the Lord with all of our heart, not with some of our heart, we all trust Him with some of our heart. Listen, every last one of them, or we wouldn't be in here today. We definitely trust Him with some of our heart. Amen? But you got to trust Him with all of your heart. Why? That's what He asked for. This is what Solomon is telling us. Was Solomon wise? Was Solomon wiser than me? Was he wiser than you? And he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. You know why? Because he had been there and done that. He had lived a life of sin. He had strayed far from God. He had misled his people. He had done so much wrong. And he learned in the end, it's just vapor in the wind. He learned in the end, there's a time for this, there's a time for that. He learned in the end, trust in the Lord, come full circle and realize God was always there. He would have led me right if I let Him. He would have saved me from this heartache if I let Him. He would have protected everything I have if I let Him. Amen? Matthew 6:26 tells us, look at the birds of the air. They never sow, the birds of the air. They never reap. They never fill barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them every day. I'm adding that in. The Bible didn't say every day. Are you not of more value than they? If God will feed the birds of the air that do nothing but fly and eat and poop and then start all over again, why wouldn't He take care of you who are wonderfully made? Why would He leave you wallowing in your sorrow and your depression and your anxiety? Doesn't make sense, does it? If God is willing to take care of those little birds that appear to be of little consequence, why would He not be willing and ready to support you in every challenge in your life today? Whether in high school, whether in college, whether in the workplace, whether in the home with your marriage and your children. Why would God not be eager to pull you through any trouble? So why doesn't He oftentimes? Come on now. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. If you choose not to acknowledge Him in all your ways, how can He direct your path? You are directing your own path. Yes? It's important to realize what you gain by being obedient to God, by putting Him first in your life. And in your daily, it's important to understand what you gain when you live Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. When the word of God comes alive in your heart, in your soul, in your being, in your daily, it's important to understand what you gain through obedience to God. It's 12:23, and we got to go eat soon. And you guys know how I am when I get on here. So I'm telling you there's some good stuff here, but I'm moving right past it. But I will tell you this, if you want to just look at Isaiah 26:3. You will keep him, speaking of God, in perfect peace. Psalm 28:7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Jeremiah 17, 7 and 8. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord. And then there's more. Psalm 37, 3 to 5, trust in the Lord, do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Proverbs 29, 25, the fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. And then Psalm 112:7, he will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. Jeremiah 29:11, we all know it. For I know the thoughts I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. So we'll move past a lot of discussion on that, and we'll get real quick to wrapping up here. Do you trust your Heavenly Father, not just a little bit, but with every fiber of your being? The easy answer is yes, of course. I'm a Christian. I'm a Seventh-day Adventist. I know Jesus died for me. I trust him with everything I have. I challenge you to think about that carefully before you burst out with, yes, I do. We're talking about a trust that's not like man-made trust. That's not like man's trust, okay? When those three Hebrew boys did not bow to that image, and they knew they were going to get tossed in the fire, they had a trust in God. But what's interesting is they said, O King, live forever. Even if our God chooses not to save us, we still will not bow to your idol, aka we still will trust our God. We still will remain faithful to our God. We will not bow to that idol, even if it costs us our life. And I ask you, if you really trust God, do you understand what that means? Sometimes you may be told you show up tomorrow or don't show up at all. We'll mail you your check. And you have a mortgage to pay, and you got kids that gotta eat, yes? And you wonder, and you say, God does not want me to go hungry. I gotta go to work. God will work it out along the way. Yes, he will. But the trust I'm talking about is the trust that some people have when they say, I stand for God, even if I'm hungry, even if I'm homeless, even if I lose, I stand for God. And this is the trust we're talking about here. I'm looking at what I can skip. Work with me here. Mike, can you confidently say that God is in charge and he's leading your life? Amen. Amen. And that's the thing. Our salvation will be a work in progress until Jesus returns. Sometimes we're going to get discouraged thinking we failed. You know what? The only person telling us we failed, even though we know it, is the enemy. God is just waiting for when you finally reach your hand up to get picked back up. He's not the guy beating you down. So there were some questions here asking if you trust the Heavenly Father with every fiber in your being, if you feel that he is your creator, if you feel that God is real. Asking today if you desire to be completely obedient to Jesus, to trust him instead of depending on you, depending on yourself. The question, do you have a formula, a formula that guarantees you success. Where you do trust God fully? That's an interesting question. Do you have a formula that guarantees you success, where you do trust God fully, you count on His wisdom, God's wisdom, to guide your life, and in all of your ways, and everything you do, you acknowledge Him as supreme, you acknowledge Him as omnipotent, you acknowledge Him as able to do anything and everything, even the smallest, most insignificant thing in your life. Can you confidently say God is leading in your life and directs your path? If your answer to any of these or all of these is a resounding yes, amen. Amen. If you can say yes to all of these questions, God is large and in charge. God directs my way. It's not about me. Every decision I got to make, I turn to Him. I let Him lead me and I trust Him. And I don't know how He's going to answer me, but He's going to answer me. Amen, I say to you. Good for you. But if you hesitated to say yes on any of those questions, if you are not completely convinced that God is in charge in your life, and look, this message, again, I wrestled with this. This is not like last week where we talked about God's people steeped in idolatry. That was a heavy one, wasn't it? I wasn't quite sure I'd make it out that door, some of the things I was saying to us, right? This seems a lot more lighthearted to me. But if you peel this onion, if you look a little bit below the words that I'm saying to you, honestly, there is nothing more important to me and you than learning to trust our Heavenly Father. We know that there will come a day, it may not be in our lifetime, but it may, right? Where we will face some persecution, some harsh times, where it won't matter that we're American on American soil. It won't. We will be breaking the law, quote unquote, and guilty, and will face punishment for the crimes. Those days are coming. And to say that it doesn't matter, as they say, come Hades or high water, I will serve the Lord, I will make that choice, I will trust the Lord with all of my heart, it doesn't matter what they do to this body, because my God rose. My God is alive. My God has the power over death. And when He's good and ready, I will be alive again with Him. What could be more important than this message today? To understand, as we come down to the close of Earth's history, as we see the turmoil, even within our own ranks, when we see men giving in to the quest for power and money, when we see so much compromise in things that should be black and white, cut and dry, straightforward. That's an easy answer. Oh, but you know, here's the thing, though. You got to look at the big picture. You got to also think about this and that. No. The Bible doesn't put it that way. God's word is very clear. Sometimes God's word is very harsh. It's called the sword of truth, isn't it? What's the sword used for? To spread butter on your bread? No, sir. The word of God is very clear. And man's tradition is watering down the true intent that God has for us as a people. And if you don't learn in all your ways to acknowledge Him instead of acknowledging man, if you don't learn and start allowing Him to direct your path, the only thing that can happen is failure. It may not seem like failure, because if you have all the things of the world, it may look like success. But it's failure if you don't have God. Because here's what's another interesting thing. As I get older, I look at people who are older than me and they close their eyes. I look at people like Sean Connery. Oh, man. James Bond. Powerful actor. I mean, the way he's portrayed, he's the image that we wanted to be. And he got old. Didn't matter how much money he had. Not knocking him, I'm just saying, he closed his eyes, he's gone. Nobody talks about him or thinks about him hardly anymore. And so many more, I see it all the time, the old actors, you know, and nothing they had with millions or billions of dollars could give them one more day, not one more day on this earth, you know? And if we can't grasp this in this message, we might think that we're successful in our lives and in what we have. And I challenge you to rethink that in light of the Word of God, in light of the plan of salvation, in light of what God says is important, not what we or man says is important. I'm 3 minutes in overtime. We're gonna pull it down here real quick. So, is there anybody here who isn't afraid to face hell and burn? I know, it sounds like a weird question. Look, I don't like fire. I don't like even getting burned a little bit on a finger. Okay? So I'm gonna tell you right now, I don't like the alternative to Jesus calling me up. I don't like the alternative to going home with the Lord. The alternative is not a good place. Do you agree? It breaks our hearts when we see people we love that are not serving the Lord. It breaks our hearts when our children grow up and drift away. It breaks our hearts when we look at our own brothers and sisters. Who's closer? Look, we got three sisters right here. You can't pick one to throw off the cliff.
Yoselin.
You know, we love our siblings. From little, we grew with them. We know them. They mean so much to us. And if they were to choose other than God, it crushes us. And the same thing with all of our families, all of our loved ones. We want them to know God, to choose God, to trust God, to let God lead them. Because if they do, when he returns, he takes them home with us. Amen? That's what we want. But it's so hard when we face that reality that not everyone is going to choose to stand for God. Ask you, are you living your life as a statement of service to Christ? Is that a reasonable question for me to ask you? Are you living your life every day as a statement, an exclamation as opposed to an explanation, a statement of service for Christ every day? Can those that you love, those same kids, those same brothers and sisters, all of your family, can they see clearly the path that you followed? And this, can this allow them to make an informed decision to follow Jesus? Why? Because they see joy in your life. Because they see your humble ways. Because they see your compassion for others. Because they see your submission to Christ in your words, in your actions, and in your life. Can you say that? Is your life such a statement for Christ that those that you love dearly see your joy? By God's grace, yes. But look, if you are honoring this, there is joy pouring out of your life. There's happiness pouring out of your life. You trust God and you're not afraid of the alternative. You're not afraid of the consequences. You don't want to feel pain. You don't want to die. But look, I trust God enough and I know the story of Jesus Christ. I know the story of redemption. I know the story of salvation. And one day God will call me up. It's okay. Is that exemplified in your life each and every day so that those that you are telling you really should turn your heart back to God. Son, sweetheart, my brother, my sister, turn your heart back to God. Or are they saying, why should I listen to you? I saw you last week, mad and cutting up and acting the fool. I saw you. Why are you talking to me? What life do you demonstrate? What witness do you give to those each and every day around you? Might you be discouraging them from choosing the right path because instead they see anger. They see you judging them. They see your callous responses to their mistakes, your self-righteous ways. Yes, that's right, I said it. Your self-righteous ways, your laziness in accepting a life of service to the master. Is that what they see? Or do they see that statement of a life in service to Christ? Do you know that God is in the business of saving souls for the kingdom? That's right. God is in the business of saving souls for his kingdom, each and every one of us. And we're hired, if you will, that's a poor term, but let's say hired in that service, in that business, to bring souls to the foot of the cross. That's our job. That's your job. We have a military man over here. You understand a job, a responsibility, a charge, and you execute that. There are consequences if you don't. Some of us take our jobs a little differently. We roll up at the job when we get there. We leave when we're good and ready. If we don't get it done today, we do it tomorrow, right? I'll tell you what, them military guys and military guys, it's a little different when they were in service or if they are in service. They follow rules. Are you confident that Jesus is coming back here? Woo, I heard four amens. I'm telling you, I know my hearing is bad. I know I need the aids, but I heard four amens. Do you have confidence in the return of Jesus and your hope of salvation? That's right. Jesus is coming back. You have salvation promised to you if you want it. Do you display godly wisdom? Every day, do you display godly wisdom the way men like Moses did, like Daniel did, like the prophet Samuel did, like Elijah did? Make sure you know this. Your life, your actions, your words, they're being watched, they're being heard, they're being observed, and they're being judged by those around us. Now, you hear all the time, I only care about God hearing and God judging. That's correct. In terms of your salvation, that's all that matters. What God heard you say, what God saw you do, what God knows is your intention in your heart. That's right. But when your words harm someone else from coming to the foot of the cross, when your action pushes someone away from Jesus Christ, don't you know that is seen, heard, and observed? And don't you know that has an impact as well? You're not sure? That has a tremendous impact on souls. People who are hungry for a knowledge of the truth of Jesus Christ. And it is our job to bring them. It is our job to show them the way. It is our job to share it with them, the hope, the blessed hope. But when they see the way we act or the things we say, are they going to come? It's something you really have to think about. In closing, as our praise team starts coming up, I'll tell you this. Do not walk away today with indifference. Hey, Brother Marcus, it was a good message. Thanks. I gotta go. Do not walk away today with indifference. Don't be afraid to ask for help. Don't be afraid to ask for guidance. We don't know everything. You can go to one of your church elders and say, listen, I'm struggling. And I promise you, you will have confidence in what you say. It won't be shared if you don't want it shared. You will have guidance if you need Bible studies, if you need prayer together with your elder to help you turn back from something. Go to one of your elders today. Don't let this message just be indifferent. It was a warm, fuzzy feeling. Fall on your knees seek the face of Jesus. Open God's word every day and read. Every day. Look, if you got to do it on your phone, that's fine. But there's something about picking up this book right here and opening. And it's not the same as just grabbing your phone, okay? But nonetheless, we'll take it if that's all we got. But every day, be in God's word. Until you are, you don't understand what you're missing, what you're not learning, what you're passing on. Every day, be in God's word. That's all I got. May God bless each and every one of us today and wish you a happy Sabbath. Let's come up, guys.